Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And it's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. Returning is Andrew P. Shea. And we're going to pick up our conversation, Andy, on the end result, the review, the wrap-up of the spring practice. But before we do that, let's announce our winner from the Ask Ross segment, and that is Pat from Cheshire, Connecticut. Pat, we'll be getting in touch with you about your KSN shirt. All right, Andy. In quarter number one, we were talking about the spring practice as a whole. We got to the cornerback room. We got to Mike Yurcich in his new offense, along with Sean Clifford at quarterback. There's also a few more stories going on. One I want to hit on is the running back position. It's really fascinating to me. You know, some of the transfers that came into Penn State, we mentioned Johnny Dixon coming into a cornerback room that was already pretty full. We had a similar situation at running back where it seemed like we already had a full room, and we had John Levitt come in, an experienced running back from Baylor. So that now gives us five running backs with big-time college football experience. There's not enough room to give five guys carries, is there?
No, I mean, 2 years ago, we saw Penn State do the or with four guys, and they kind of made it work. Somebody kind of emerged, Journey Brown. But this position is just my personal favorite to watch evolve over the spring, through the summer, and into fall camp. I'm a big believer in that through the course of the first, you know, five, six, seven games of the season, it sort of plays itself out. I think there will be plenty of time sharing going on to begin with. But I still think Noah Cain gets the first crack at sort of the RB1, you know, status. I think he's going to get first crack at that. I'm not sure it's 100% earned. I mean, in my mind, he hasn't played football since the middle of 2019 for the most part. And he's got ankle injuries, and ankles and running backs are always a worry for me. But we know what he can do when he's healthy, and I think that is very comforting to Penn State. I think Kevon Lee is the most intriguing of this. Him and Noah Cain are similar, right? They're the same back for the most part, but they're similarly different, too. The differences between them are very subtle. But in a big picture wise, they're kind of the same back. I think John Lovett has the change of pace from the other two, from Lee and Noah Cain, that Penn State really likes. He's a physical runner as well, but he's got that burst and speed that we know what that looks like when it works well. Saquon Barkley, Journey Brown. He's just one step short in the physical department of what exactly Penn State likes from him. But don't forget, he's played 42 college games. He's got more than 1,800 career yards. He averaged 5.1 yards per carry, and he has 17 touchdowns. That's pretty reliable production to say about a guy. Yeah, he's got change of pace. He's a physical runner, but we still need one more level from him. I think you'll find that. He feels to me like the guy that of the group that has the best opportunity if given the chance to emerge as a guy that could sort of take over as a number one over time. And lastly, we have to talk about Devin Ford, right? Of course, don't we? We have to. And to me, he's the unrealized talent. If he finds the keys to unlock that talent that he has, he has the potential to be special. But he's right now, as it looks, in 2021 and what is around him, he's behind. And he already kind of had a crack at RB1 in 2020, and he wasn't ready. So do you get a second shot? You don't get one. You have to earn one. So that's why I say he's a little bit behind because he's got to chase those guys down and realize his own talent for him to be that player for Penn State. And that's a long haul. And I think he, listening to him during the spring and stuff, he's matured a lot and grown up. And trust me, his skill set is ridiculous, but it's unrealized right now. And I'm curious to see him develop as a more mature running back and person.
A couple quick notes on that. You mentioned the similarities between Kevon Lee and Noah Kane. It was interesting to hear James Franklin talk about Kevon Lee this spring. He was talking about he takes the 2-yard run and makes it 4 yards. I swear it was identical to his conversation about Noah Kane a year or two ago. So they are similar backs. James Franklin recognizes it. The thing with Noah Kane is he has been out for a long time. So we remember him as the healthy back who was earning that number one position with running backs in 2019. Is he the same guy after these injuries? We'll have to find out. Last quick question on the running back situation. You talked about Devin Ford, and we all know there's that tap potential there. It was interesting to me how the coaches talked about him this spring. Were they challenging him? Because they came as close to being critical of him as they were of any player.
Yeah, I think they were just being real with the young man, because they're coaches, they're smart, right? They see it. You and I see it. We know you see it too, right? You're like, "Oh my gosh, that kid, look at the talent and skills that young man possesses as a running back." They see it as well and know it's unrealized. And I think they're pushing him because there is a chance. And this room is, look at this room, Jim. There's a chance if he's not pushing himself and trying to realize his talent, he becomes so far lost that he just ends up, you know, walking away and transferring. They have to push him to keep him competitive in that room right now. And, you know, tough love never hurt anybody.
He's the guy that I'm a big fan of after watching his high school tape, so I'm hoping that he realizes that potential here at Penn State. Andy, let's move on to a couple other stories. And it's interesting to me, wide receiver, a year ago, it was absolutely the biggest question mark going. What makes wide receiver a story this year is there's pretty much no story. Jahan Dotson came back. He's your number one guy. We questioned last year, could he be number one? We questioned last year, then who's next? Who could be the number two? And Parker Washington stacked up quite a bit. And it appears from the stories we're hearing this spring, a couple highlights we're seeing from these scrimmages, he may be ready to break out this year.
Yeah, as much concern as you had going into 2020 about the wide receiver position, and it was top of my list. I was like, look, I said it last year. I like Jahan Dotson. I don't know if Jahan Dotson's the number one wide receiver. We're going to find out, but I think the kid's a good wide receiver, and I have no idea what's behind him. And Jahan Dotson is the number one wide receiver, and what's behind him is Parker Washington, who in a true freshman, he was forced onto the field. Think about that. They didn't play him because he was infinitely more talented than anybody else. He was the best player that they had to put out on the field, and he was a true freshman, and he still stood out. And there is another level to him. It's absolutely clear that 2021, he is the potential breakout guy. And even in his small sample, Keandre Lambert-Smith showed that, yeah, he probably shouldn't be out there, but he's okay out there right now. Give him a full offseason and give him a full winter workout, give him a spring practice. They are just fine with those three at wide receiver. Very exciting position for Penn State. Clifford's got some of the best receivers to work with he's had in his time as a starting quarterback.
Andy, if last year your main concern was wide receivers, this year in our conversations going into the spring, I know your biggest concern was at defensive line. with everything that's gone on in the spring, we know that P.J. Mustipher has put on a lot of weight at defensive tackle. There's a couple transfers coming in at both tackle and defensive end. What questions have been answered for you at defensive line, and what questions still remain open?
Oh, man. So I still have a lot of questions about the defensive line, and I'll phrase it like this. So I know that the transfer from Temple, Arnold Ebikidi, is going to be a important player for Penn State. He's just going to have to be. And I think P.J. Mustipher, I've said it before, I think he's a potential first-team All-Big Ten defensive tackle. Beyond that, Jimmy, I have no idea. I know Adisa Isaac is still on Penn State's roster, and everyone's projecting him as a starting defensive end, but boy, it was an awfully quiet spring for Adisa Isaac. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it's definitely been a quiet spring in terms of talking about the defensive line. Who's going to play the one technique tackle? Fred Hansard's back. Is he a starter? You know, is Derek Tangelo going to play there? You've got Hakeem Beamon, a young guy coming up behind Mustipher. You know, there's a lot of names and not a lot known. I just think the known quantities to me are Arnold Ebikidi from the transfer from Temple. I think he's got starting experience and will play. And I'm a big fan of P.J. Mustipher going into it. The rest of it, check back with me in maybe like October.
The fact is, though, Andy, if you've got Wisconsin as your opening game in early September, you may not have until October to find out.
I honestly think even though you're playing Wisconsin first, it's still your first game, but it's not your normal first game. It's a, you know, formidable, you know, Big Ten West team, but they're still going to have to come up with a rotation, and we know Penn State likes to go 6-7, you know, deep and use that sort of rotation. So I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity, and I think there's going to be a lot of mixing and matching. But I feel strongly that for the first, you know, 2-3 games, that there's some guys that snap counts are going to be a little higher than you might like, just out of necessity while they're trying to figure out how to mix and match this.
Thanks, Andy. That's going to have to be the last word for our show. I know we had some technical difficulties during this segment. When you're doing this remotely, as we have to do during these pandemic times, that's the danger you run into. Hopefully that wasn't too much of a distraction for you all. Thank you for listening to our show, and be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.